Hello, sorry,
Hello.
Just okay. not working today. Okay.
So we're on. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
The next piece is Corolla.
Sorry, Robert, let me ask, can we ask another question?
Sure.
Sure.
It's a bit of a shayless term, but it seems that you got to cover the Myla, the Myla's one has, because they're from a Mok and Panim.
Yeah.
And you got to cover your Fesrainus. So what do you reveal?
What he's talking about is, and maybe we'll see as we go to next week, everything comes through a Levush. The Toiv comes through a Levush. Then blunt. Let's give an example.
If somebody,
let's take the same situation, and two parallel cases. You have a situation where somebody owes you a thank you. When the person gives
very blunt,
and he tells you, your tremendous Baal Chesed, and so forth. It loses something in it. You know, listen, it's appreciated, but not the way you'd like it. If a person in a way where subtle, he gives it to you and you see a look in his eyes, you feel an extra feeling in his hand. He says something. Really subtle. It's a lot more beautiful because there's something coarse and gross about it when it comes. And there's something beautiful about it when it comes with time. So really, what you're looking for is the type. These inyanim come melukish, and that's where you get. Cover doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means it expresses itself through the other. Is that okay?
Just that last point. Covered expresses itself through the other.
It's when you express your whatever through a medium, not the thing naked. Just like the beauty of a person. If the person is locked up, it's hard to
get caught.
The person is naked. Nobody is stuck.
subtle something else, rather than just blurting out.
One expression somebody tells you, I most love to spend time with you more than anyone else, versus, I could think of worse things to do than spending time with you. Even though technically the first statement is much stronger than the second statement, the second statement is much more pleasant for the ear than the first statement to someone who's a Baal Nefesh. I assume you agree with me on that one. Yeah?
Yeah, fine. Okay.
I'm sorry?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm okay with that.
Good. So we're ready for the next paragraph?
Yeah, let's go.
Beperek Haroya, it says va'oymar l'argecha v'atochos elecha. It says over there by Shaul and David. David said to Shaul, "I was going to kill you," and had rachmanis. So the verse va'oymar v'amati miboylei v'atochos v'chasti. Amar Loza amalei David l'Shaul. David was telling Shaul, "Minat Torah hayamuta l'argecha." Minatera, I was allowed to kill you. My timer, Raidefata. Vatera Amra, Bolagecha, Hashkin Vahargoi. Elot Snius Shahoya Becha, Hicha Solecha. I had, there was Snius, and that's why I didn't kill you. Umait Snius Haisubay Bishal, what was the Snius? Dixiv Vayovo al Gidreis Hatsoin al Aderech, Vishomara. It says that he wanted to relieve himself and he went into a Ma'ara. Tana Geder Lifne Migeder Umar Alfim Ma'ara. There was a double Ma'ara, a double Geder, and that was the Tznias. Lahasich, Amrav Lazim Alamech, Esichat Mekisuka. He totally covered himself. So, his Vailachat Varam Shamarnu. Kima Inyanat Tznias, Sheikhasav Shahargo. I mean, Tznias is a lovely thing and it's wonderful. But why would that be a preventive from killing somebody? Now, it's true some people want to kill people who are not just theistic, so for that it's effective. But here the reason to kill was quite other. The reason to kill was because he was running after him. Aval, he says, advarim katsnius. Mipneshu tsnius royal of astira b'yoisik meshvaz achakach. Inyanim of tsnius should be hidden. So the same midah of tznius that he used tznius to be musta from people, so too it saved him in the inyan of not being killed. V'dovah zeh noida m'inyan atznius, shekol inyanei hester v'ninigla b'chutz. Tznius means that everything takes place in the inside, not b'chutz. Rakol ma'isa b'hester b'tznius, lefikah nistagan k'mi shmir atzal yisholtim boi. V'dovah zeh vua. So Maral says over here that tznius carries in itself a mila and a mida, that it saves a person from danger and so on, because it's befitting and so on. I'd like to elaborate a bit about this. It's especially appropriate Rosh Hashanah to talk about an inyan that I think explains. I mean, l'chura, it's very hard. Yes, when people are in hiding, it's hard to find them and it's hard to harm them. That's quite a very reasonable point. But that doesn't mean in any way, how do we translate that into a reason why he was, because of the schus of tznius, he was saved and so on. It's hard to see the whole picture of it. So I want to I want to speak about an akuda. I think it'll help us a lot. The Reb Chaim Shlomowitz actually used to say to Shmuz this point a lot before Rosh Hashanah time, or, you know, kind of Yom Neroim time. This was one of his famous themes. It says in the Pasuk, in the Zohar, it says, Vayiskol Akim es Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Noach, who was in the Teva. And I think the Zohar HaKadosh is sort of stressing the description of Noach as being in the Teva, as being very significant. So it says like this: Rebbe Loza Oma Tochazi B'Shaita De Dina Shaya Ba'Alma. When there's din in the world, when there is a midas din in the world, Loliboy Leinish De Yitka Shmei La'Elam. A person should not do anything to have his name mentioned publicly. In other words, he shouldn't do anything that caused him to stand out. Minolam Mishunamis. It says that he yoyim ayantav Rosh Hashanah havi. What happened was, it says over there, vahi ayoyim, and Elisha happened to pass by, be by her, and Elisha said, you know, I'm kind of, you've been so kind to me, is there anything I can do for you? Would you like me maybe to speak to the king and get you some sort of favor? And she said, I'm fine, I'm good like everybody else. That's kind of the flow of the pasuk. Chazal say, the Zohar says, that he yoyma yontev Rosh Hashanah havet. That was Rosh Hashanah. v'kutshebricha doin alma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the doin alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in the middle of judging the world. U'kedein amala Elisha, and that's what Elisha meant to tell her. Hayesh ledaber l'chal ha-melech. Do you have any reason to speak to the king? Do kutshebricha Hu. Melech refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'kedein ikri ha-melech ha-kadosh ha-melech ha-mishpat. Like we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as melech in these days. Vatomer, so she replied, "B'toch am yenochi yeshaves, lo beina de'itkun b'vashkechinabi. I don't want to be noticed or mentioned. Elo b'toch ami, I want to not make waves. Man de'ayel reisha bein ama, the person that puts his head down amongst others, lo yishkechun alei lemeidan lelevish. Midas Adin is not done on him." For bad, lekach amar betoch ami, you're in shock. So she said that betoch ami noch yeshevus, and that's why I don't need you and I don't want to be noticed and so on. I once heard in Kelm, in other places, they were makpid, the Rosh Hashivas were makpid not to get aliyahs on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur because they didn't want to stand out in the crowd. My wife's grandfather, Blaise Yudel, sort of tried to play it on both ends. On the one hand, he didn't want to get an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur like Balaam was. On the other hand, it's a halacha. So his compromise was he would get an aliyah mincha shabashuva. So that way it was kind of yoitza the chazal, yoitza the halacha, getting an aliyah these days. On the other hand, it was sort of as ostentatious as possible. But I want to go back to the point that he's making the Zohar. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, his point, his thrust was a little different. His thrust was usually that a person should be part of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael has a special type of hashkacha that that the Yechidim don't have, and that's why a person should always be kind of hidden amongst the klal. In other words, Reb Chaim's perspective on this point was to sort of don't divorce yourself from the klal. I would like to go with a little bit of a different direction. It says, the Gemara says also, and Reb Chaim used to say this as well, that a person should, he used to speak about being mavil midoisav, so he would bring down a Gemara that a person should always be makabel, you know, a person should be a shofla anderson, and he would bring the Gemara that it says, if the koyin v'ruas anega, if the Kohen went into a house and it was dark and you couldn't make out the nega, so then you didn't need to, you wouldn't be machlet the bias because there's no chiyuv to go into bringing a flashlight and to look at the nega. So Reb Chaim would speak over there about the Mavel Midosov. I'd like to put the two Gemaras together in the sense that there's an inyan of Midas Hadin, that Midas Hadin is sholit on the Fahesia and not on the Tzina. And I want to explain it, I want to explain a little bit some of the oimik of it. The lashon that's used in the Sfarim, one of the lashonis used for the description of kochos hara in general is chutz ochitzoinim, v'satzel nafshi min achitzoinim, the outsiders versus the insiders. In other words, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the Bria, he created the Pnim Shaboy to be, is the Toy, is the Ruchnias, the Panim Shabbai is that's the mohus of it, and that's Kodesh, and the Chutz Shabbai is not Kodesh. In other words, everything, the outside of anything, is the chelek that is not the tov. It doesn't have to be ra, but it's not the tov, and it's the place where there can be a zdapkus of that which is outside to it. Let's give an example. Let's first give a physical example. You know, one of when you learn about the immune system and people sort of developing immunities, etc., one of the things that they stress is that your strongest and most significant immune system is your skin, because your skin is the primary organ that stands between you and everything else. And the place where something can penetrate is from the outside. It's nidbak from the outside. And the skin has to, if the skin is broken or whatever, then, or if it's porous, that's where the number one problem of things getting in is. Because that stands between you and it. The chutz, the chitzonim, the klipa, the description of the kohos of ra, one of the descriptions is klipa, which is a hard shell, a shell. What's fascinating about it is that a shell is not bad bifnei atzmo. You couldn't grow many of the peiros without the shell around it. A shell is only bad in terms of ingesting it. If I have nuts and I try to take it in with the shell, then I have a problem with it. But if not, I don't have a problem with it. It's adarabah, it's a protection. It says that Esav was supposed to work in conjunction with Yaakov. It says that Esav was created first, came to surface first, because just like a shomer precedes a pre, when something starts growing, let's say you have a type of vegetation that requires thorns to protect it from animals, or a hard shell or anything, inevitably the protection is going to come first. It's like a davar pashut. If a president or a king has bodyguards, the bodyguards arrive ahead of the king, because if they were to arrive after the king, there might not be a king left. They precede the king, secure the place, stand around, and he comes into a protected area. So Chazal said the same thing was true with Esav and Yaakov. Esav had to come first, because Esav would be a shomer for Yaakov. That means like this: everything that is tov carries in itself a vulnerability. It's vulnerable to the things that are outside of itself. All that is tov is really one nekuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Chelek Elokai Mimal, is the tov in the Bria, and it is everywhere, and it is totally vulnerable in a world of Chomer, because that's the nature of it. In the physical world, in the world of Chomer, Ruchnius has a very, very tenuous existence. A mashal that Chazal give that fit this description is that Kli Zchuchis, it says Divrei Torah are kasha l'knoisin k'klei zahav, and Noach la'abdon k'klei zchuchis. The Maral explains, this world, the harder, the tougher, the stronger the material it is, the more of a citizen this world it is. So bricks, rocks, are very much this world, and they do well in this world. glass, because it's kind of very refined and thin and so on, is fragile, and it doesn't do very well in our world. So the more refined and the more ruchni something is, the more it requires some sort of a protection, of a shmira, of a to keep it guarded. So Esav, had it been ketikunoi, he would have been the right person to act as a buffer between Yaakov and the world outside. The fact that Yaakov needed to be devious, you know, Hayadayim de Esav, Akokol Yaakov Yadayim de Esav, Esav's Yadayim should have been taking care of it for him. And Yaakov should have been just the pure kernel of Ruchnius. Had that worked, then the klipa would have been good. Just like the shell around the nut is the perfect envelope for the nut, as long as it's growing until it's served. It's just that once it's served, eating the klipa is bad. But the klipa has a tachlis in bringing out the pri, which is by its nature vulnerable. Pris are edible, and they tend to be quite delectable and attractive to animals and so on and so forth. So you have the shomer that keeps it from there. That's the metzius of chitzonim and chutz in the bria. So the bria is automatically divided into pnim and chutz. The pnim of the bria is a likus. The chutz is chomer. It's true in every facet of it, in terms of perception of creation. Science is the chutz, the pnim is Ratzon Hashem, and so on and so forth. The achiza of Ra, the Ra always needs a surface to be nitbak on. Lamashal, let's take a very simple example. Let's say I'm a big tzaddik, and I'm walking the street, and a rush is standing there trying to radiate rishis onto me. Doesn't work. There's no way you can sort of radiate rishis, and it's nothing. Let's say I say hello, and he says hello. So there's been a small point of contact, not big enough to really create an issue, but a point of contact. Let's say I get into a conversation with him. So now he's got a place where to grab hold of me. He can be very friendly and sweet to me. He can invite me to a party of his. He can come with kindness against my amuna. And I've given him now an interface where I could be affected negatively. Chazal say it in a different area. You have Lamashal, the Gemara says that just like Dogim Shebiyam, Ayin Hara is not Sholet on them, so too on the Bnei Yosef, Ayin Hara is not Sholet on them. So first of all, the Gei Ayam, same thing with Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara is a koach in the Bria, a koach of jealousy, a koach of Ayin Ra that's looking to snag something. Oh, look at this guy's house. Look at this guy's car. Look at this guy's station in life. That's where the chiz of Ayin Rod, certainly Ayin, in the sense that Ayin deals with chitzonis, is shalit. That creates its shilton of Ayin Ra is over there. Anything that lives beneath the radar screen, so to speak, in the world of Mayim, is something which is a completely hidden from the world. There's no makom for the Ayin Ra to be typhus or shoylet in it. That's the musig of the Gei Hayam. What's interesting is by Yosef HaTzadik, even though Yosef was extremely highly visible and kind of, I mean, you couldn't get more visible than being Paro's assistant. but he was totally hidden. The real Yosef was hidden within a shell of some very, very visible personage. The Chazal say that the Bnei Rachel were always hidden, discreet. It's a mid of Rachel that was discreet. Binyamin was extremely discreet. By Shaul, it says that Shaul didn't tell his family he became Melech. Shaul was discreet. Esther was discreet, and so on. The Chazal Amayrach and explain how that sign of Klai, that Chelek, is discreet. When a person is discreet, there's no makom for the achiza, for an outsider to have an achiza in him. It's very interesting by Eov, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him to the test and sicked the satan on him, he said, "Have you seen anyone in the world as righteous as Eov?" Have you seen? Is there anyone as visible? Eov was a visible tzaddik. He had some visibility, and that visibility allowed for a tfisa of kochos of ra to be nitfas in him. So the midas hadin midas hadin applies itself to the chitzonis of the world. That which is visible, that which is nicker, that has in itself the inyan of where midas hadin can sort of sink its claws into it. The midah of tznius gives a person a protection from the world around him and from all elements of things associated with that world, whether it's the Ayin Hara, whether it's things that's like the Rosh's Sefer Tzadik and Vakish Lamiso, he's looking for the Tzadik. Whether it's Midas Hadin that's always mekatrin on that which is visible. A child in its most vulnerable state as a fetus is basically completely hidden within his mother. He doesn't have his own metzias. His metzias is kind of subsumed to within his mother's metzias. Yes, it acts as a physical barrier, the womb and the mother's and everything, the mother's shell around him. But on a deeper oifin, an uber doesn't have a presence yet in this world, so it's very hard to have an achiza of kochos of rain. It's the protection is not simply the layers of physical flesh and blood surrounding him, so that it's hard for something to affect it negatively. It's got to do also with the pnim yeshaboy. Since it's kulei pnim, that's why it's sort of a protection and so on. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's mahalach was mitoch hamelach yeshivas that a person should try to get things in schos of the klal. And he would speak about not deviating from what everyone else is doing. And by the way, as sort of parenthetically, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was a very big believer. He didn't like people who made their kids exceptions. Like if all the kids were learning 10 hours in the cheder, I would give an extra hour of time. I would learn something else. I would have him act more frum than anybody else. In general, he felt it was a very famous maimon of his, and really a certain sense of this is a strong belief of his about how to conduct life and so on. But I'm trying to, I would like to give it a different angle, that the Betoch Ami Nochi Yeshevas and Rosh Hashanah is that kol zman a person is hidden. Like the Maral says here, since Shaul HaMelech's midah was to be hidden, so it was hard for any type of ra to be shayla danim. In the world of panim, it is within itself. Things exist within themselves, and they don't interface with the other ones by definition. The chutz is defined as the interface with the other. That's the makom achiz and the makom tfisa. It's when you don't have that interface that you don't have a chetimtza for the kasarat to be able to protect you. So I guess I want to bring it back, I guess, l'maisa kind of, and in line with what he's saying. The Maral is bringing a nekuda here that the midas atznius, and you know, he's explaining all the different good aspects of midas atznius. One of the very important aspects of midas atznius is a person's find safety in his tznius. I once heard a gewaldige vart from it was a Beryl Pavosky said a hespit on my father-in-law. My father-in-law, Zechana Vracha, was an extraordinary tzenuah. I mean, we didn't know a fraction of things he did. He was very discreet. And what was interesting, he said an extraordinary description of him. He brought down this chazal, geder betoch geder, you know, two fences. So the pasha pshat is you learn it's more private. If you have two doors, it's more private. Two walls. He said something very, very well. He said, people can display their tznius also. In other words, a person walks around with that look of mystery. Rabbi Isai, you should know that I'm hiding many, many great things. There's many great things, but you don't bother asking because I'm very big on midas atznius. So he might be hiding the details, but it's like a woman's expecting, really like sort of 8th, 9th month. You suddenly see a person, I'm not sure if it's a zach and a keva, but it's there. I mean, no doubt about it. So he said that a geder betoch geder was that he hid the tznius as well. That's why he put it. It was an apt description of my father-in-law, because my father-in-law's personality was such, he wasn't a mysterious person. I mean, it was tons of fun. You could sit and schmooze and laugh and joke and story. It was a very, very, very personable person. But there never was any ability to communicate about his private life, his accomplishments, his reasons for doing things, what's happening. Nothing. I mean, it's zero. It's a very, very personal, a tremendous interface, but not into his personal life. You could talk to him for hours and still not have any clue about him. It was a lot of very engaging, very entertaining, very pleasant. That was a sort of parenthetical quote from Rabbi Alfavosky. He said, "Geder betoch geder" means that it was the tznius was also betznius. So I guess as regards to an aspect of the Yom HaDin, any activities of a person, the more it lies on the surface, the more it projects. And the truth be said that when we do things that project outwards, it's usually because we want people to notice. I remember as a little boy, Purim, my father was a shamas in a shul, so we gave out a lot of shachmanis to people, and we'd get tips for bringing shachmanis. And I remember vividly, one balabas tells his wife, "Laura, could you give me, please, another dollar to give to this young man?" And I remember being medayik, he wants me to understand that he's been doling out dollars all day long, and that's why he used another dollar. I mean, I only got $1. So what was the point of telling him to give him another dollar? And it was, you know, I mean, this person did have issues with this Hinyan. I mean, even as a young boy, I realized it. But it was just, I remember the word just hitting me and saying to himself, aha, he's got to show it to me. When a person's sense of what he does is only tied to chutz, if it's like if no one heard the tree fall, it didn't make a noise. If no one noticed me doing something good, I never did it, then the person's living with his whole ruchnius on chitzin, and b'meila, the chances of it retaining its value, mikoyach, everything, is not much, because it's very, very vulnerable. That's the nature of these things, whether in the mystical level, the chitzayim, and so forth. The things that thrive and are good, and b'chlal, it's on a personal level, and, you know, like for Hashana, and it's something which is also on a public level. Somebody, an extremely wealthy man, once wanted to do something, a project that he felt would be very helpful. And it would be, but the project had a tremendous a tremendous probability of becoming very controversial, and you know, making a lot of waves and so on and so forth, with a good chance of a backlash. And I told him, Mr. So-and-so, I think it would be a lot wiser if you do it in this way, X, Y, and Z, and it wouldn't make waves, it wouldn't jar anybody. You would get it done, and it would be very big to'elos, very successful, and, you know, it would be fine. So this person gave a whole big tirade why the opponents to what he's proposing are dead wrong, and so on and so forth. So I asked him, so let me get it clear. The purpose of this enterprise is to accomplish something good, or to stick it to the people that are opposing you. If your goal is the second one, then I think your tactic is right. If the point of this is to get back at someone that is opposing you, or to show him that you're right, and so forth, then it's a great tactic. You'll do it publicly, you'll make big waves, there will be a big backlash, there will be a great battle, and so on and so forth. So if that's the purpose, then I think you've got it right. But if you want to do it, if you want to do what's right, do it quietly, behesta. And it's the toiv in the bria exists behesta. That's the way the bria is formed. And the things that a person does that is behesta has a kiyum, and they're real, and they exist, and they're not vulnerable to the tfisa nachiza of midas hadin. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't check to see, I mean, kaviyachol, it's a midas hadin. If I come to you and I tell you, I want you to see how I daven Shemoneh Esrei. My Shemoneh Esrei is just simply earth-shaking. You've got to see it. Well, if I'm proposing that to you, then you will perhaps take me up on it and say, you know, and you'll have some criticism of it because I propose that you criticize it. If you don't see me daven Shemoneh Esrei, you don't know where daven Shemoneh Esrei, it's not open for your criticism. It was never presented to you. When a person does something presenting it outwardly, then he's inviting the Midas Hadin Shaboy. That's what he's doing. He's saying, let's see if you can beat a Shemoneh Esrei like this. If the person doesn't do it that way, he's not inviting the Midas Hadin, he's not inviting the examination, and b'meila, the Midas Hadin doesn't have a makom drisa. Why would I want to judge it? It's not being presented to be judged. Obviously, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's danos, the fial, maisim, and so on and so forth. But in the realm of the big Midas Hadin, where the world itself is open for criticism and so forth, there is a makom where Midas Hadin is nitfas and nechas, and there's a makom where it has no drisa regel. A person's maisim on every strata remain protected, and they remain safe, and they remain productive if they're done the hatsna. And I mean, ultimately, I want to throw in something. Ultimately, if the ultimate hatsna is that the person himself not dwell on it, if let's say I did something good, I learned 10 hours straight without a hefsek. if I sit and sort of reminisce about it, think about it, mull it over, Ashreinu, Matoyim Chalkeinu, how wonderful it's been and how great I've been and so on and so forth, that's already a chutz. In other words, it's coming out. If I do it and it stays within myself, that's when it's the most productive and the most bracha. I'll go upon him in the Midas Atznias that the Maral is speaking about. It's certainly very appropriate. Chazal have told us in Rosh Hashanah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's done the world in a much bigger sense than simply good or bad, Maisim Tovim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Adinah Shalit in the world. It's the things that are on display and outwards when he says, look around the world and see if anybody looks like Eov. That's where the Midas Adinah Shalit. If Shunamis would say, could you please mention me, especially for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where Midas Adinah Shalit. And the things, the more behetzna things are, the more they're held to our inner selves, then that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Adin glosses over, Midas Adin doesn't have a makom achiz in it, and those things stay well and stay productive. Any questions?
Ravinsky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how do you explain the Chazal that says that anyone that is contributing the exact lashon chayta betzina machizin oisa mibakut?
That depends if the person is doing it because he thinks he's going to get away with it. In other words, the sense of there is, if I have a little affair very furtively, I'll get away with it. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megalit b'chutz. Because the person is attempting. I mean, the Gemara says if a person can't control his Yetzirah, he should go to a place where nobody knows him. He should dress in shchorim and do mashalibo chafetz. The Litzon Ador say that means Lakewood. You go to a place nobody knows you, you love a shchorim, and you do mashalibo chafetz. But what's the kavanah at Chazal? Over there, I'm worried about the Chil Hashem. It's not the pshat as I want to get away with it, but I know that I'm going to do X or Y or Z. So doing it behested, that there's no Chil Hashem, is positive. But where a person is doing it because he thinks he's going to get away with something, then it comes out in the open to haunt him. That's the pshat over there. Okay, Al Kapanim.
Okay.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. What about the role of Mepharsim in Ose Mitzvah? Where does that fit into the study? Isn't there an idea sometimes that you lead by example, by people seeing that you're doing the right thing, then they follow that example?
So that's a really difficult issue, because for the klal, a big sign, so-and-so the donor, is a great incentive. So-and-so sitting and learning is a great incentive. For the yochid, it's not good. And it's funny. In our world, the donor pushes for a bigger and bigger plaque, and the executive director pushes for a smaller plaque, because you need to leave room for others. In the real world, the donor would be absolutely wanting to keep it bitzina, and the other people would be the one pressing it to make it begoli, so to entice other people to do it. It's two different. You have to weigh Toelis versus Toelis. Let's give an example. If I come to Beis Medrash early to learn, if I come 5 in the morning to learn Beis Medrash, it definitely has a positive effect on others, that other people feel kind of guilty and they come. It has a bit of a negative effect on myself because, I'm sort of displaying it. So you've got to weigh that the Rabbim and the Tzibur. There's no yourself versus the Rabbim. There's no way. Okay. That's it?
Thank you, Shah.
Okay, and I guess we'll resume on the Thursday before Yom Kippur.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it.
That's
it.
Thanks,
Rabbi Lavinsky.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.